Begin the current daf, Septus Tmur Daf Lamed Gimel. Begin 6 lines down with the top of the Amud, where the Gemara continues the discussion of the previous daf, where we had a Machlekes, Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish, how to qualify the Machlekes in our Mishnah between the Rabbanan and Rabbi Shimon, specifically the opinion of the Rabbanan, that they said in the Mishnah, V'mesu Yukavu, if an animal dies, then it has to be buried, it can't be redeemed. So Rabbi Yochanan explained the Kondra Abonan that halacha is both regarding, which our Mishnah was discussing, two types of kachim, that of kachim esbech, kachim betegabais. Rabbi Yochanan says it was going on both of them, because both of them are in the halacha, what's called hamada baracha. The animal has to be able to stand, to be evaluated, to then be redeemed, and when it's dead, it can't. So both those have to be buried. Whereas Rish Lakish said, instead, no, the halacha of the Rabbanan was specifically regarding kachim betegabais. That's where there's halacha of hamada baracha, and therefore if it's dead, it has to be buried. But kachim esbech, there they didn't hold there's halacha of amad v'aracha, and there actually they would hold that even after it died, it would be able to be redeemed. That was their machlekes. So that's how our Gemara continues in the Amar of Gidl Merabi. He says, my tamad Rish Lakish. What's the reason of Rish Lakish? The Amar that he says, l'rabbanan, according to Rabbanan, kache bedek abayis, that which has the sanctity of the bedek abayis, of the temple treasury, hoyu b'chal amad v'aracha, that is something that has the halacha, has to be able to stand, to be evaluated. And again, that's what they were saying in the Mishnah, that if it dies, it has to be buried. But kachim mizbech lohoyi b'chal amad v'aracha, but if it's something that's sanctified for the mizbech, that doesn't have the halacha amad v'aracha. What's the reason for his opinion? Says the Gemara, because the Amakra. Pasuk says of a Yikra, after the Pasuk that talks about the hemid, which is that if it's an animal that's not going to be brought as a carbon, so you stand the animal in front of the kayin, the next pasuk continues, which that's the halacha where we say hamad levarach has to be able to stand, and then the herech hakayin oisa, the kayin then evaluates it, bein tayv vein ra, whether between if it's good or if it's bad, which sounds like that doesn't make a difference if it's tayv or ra, they're both going to be the same, which generally tayv and ra means say, tayv means unblemished, and ra means blemished. So says the Gemara, Zehu Davar Shein Chilik Bin Tev L'Ra. What type of a kachim is it that, as we see the pasuk is defining it, that it doesn't make a difference if it's blemished or unblemished? Havayim is a kachim b'de gabayis. That's what kachim b'de gabayis. Where there, the sanctity of the temple upkeep, it doesn't make a difference if an animal is blemished or not. It always has a monetary sanctity anyway. Kachim is bech, it does, because only unblemished animals could you bring as a carbon, not blemished. So you see that we're talking about the halach of kachim b'de gabayis, that's where we require a mod of a racham. Now, moreover, v'amakra, the pasuk says over there, v'herach ha-kayin oisa, the kohen will evaluate it, which is exclusionary terminology, l'mu'ute kachim mizbech, to exclude that which is sanctified for the kedushas mizbech, where there that doesn't have the halacha of hamad v'aracha. Because this that we're excluding kachim mizbech is we're saying that the pasuk here is not going back on what the beginning of the previous pasuk was talking about. Yeah, the beginning of the previous pasuk was talking about kachim mizbech. It says, if we're not going to bring it on Mizbeach, so then, but the halacha that we're saying here in this pasuk, that we're talking about that it has to have hamad v'aracha, is going specifically on kachim betek abayis, and actually from Eitzah we're excluding kachim Mizbeach. But says the Gemara, but for Rabbi Yechanan, so he would definitely agree that when you're saying in the pasuk, pein toivah bein ra, that obviously the pasuk is referring to kachim betek abayis. However, he holds that this, that the two psukim together are telling you v'hem and v'herach, that you have to do hamad v'aracha, that that's also going back on the beginning of the first pasuk, which the pasuk, like we said, is explicitly talking about kachim mizbech. Now, the end of the pasuk that's talking about kachim b'de gabayis, because it says bein tev bein ra, and that's only kachim b'de gabayis, that doesn't make a difference if it's blemished or unblemished. When it says oisa l'mute mais, when it says it, what's it coming to exclude? Because Rabbi Yechanan holds that the Rabban holds that's not excluding kachim mizbech. So what is it excluding? It's l'mute balmum mi'ikarei. It's coming to exclude regarding kachim mizbech. Yeah, the pasuk is talking about kachim b'deg abayis and excluding, but not categorical as excluding kachim mizbech, because kachim mizbech usually does have amad v'aracha. It's excluding by kachim mizbech that if it was a pre-blemished animal before it was ever sanctified. There, Rabbi Yechanan agrees in the opinion of the Rabbanan that then it's not going to have the halacha of hamad v'aracha. But radically kachim mizbech that subsequently developed a blemish, then it will have the halacha of hamad v'aracha. Now, according to Rish Lakish, you don't need to have the pasuk to exclude balmum meikarei, because he says, according to Rabbanan, that in general kachim mizbech doesn't have the halacha of hamad v'aracha, even if it was sanctified before the blemish. Obviously, if it's blemished before, for sure it's not going to require hamad v'aracha. And therefore, he doesn't say that it's excluding that. He says actually that it's excluding the whole kachim mizbech in general. But now the Gemara asks, but l'tana de Levi, but according to the Bryce that's mentioned in Shiva of Levi, the Amad that he says, da'fil balmum meikarei, that even someone was pre-blemished, And then it was sanctified that even that requires Hamadavaracha, the Tanya Levi, like we learned the Brice of Levi, Hakol Hoyubakla, Madavaracha, everything that's sanctified has to be able to stand and be evaluated to be able to be redeemed. Even if it was blemished before it was even sanctified, and v'chein tani Levi b'masnita, so do Levi teaches in his braces, which Levi had a collection of the braces, that said, even wild animals and birds, like for example, like geese and chicken, which are not even at all fit for the mizbeach at all, which that's considered like pre-blemished, that is going to require to have hamada baracha. But the question is, but it says it, which sounds like that when we're talking about what requires hamada baracha, is exclusionary, excluding something else. So according to Rish Lakish, it's excluding Kachem Mizbech. According to Rabbi Yechon, it's excluding not Kachem Mizbech, but Kachem Mizbech that has Baal Mumei Kar. According to Levi, that even Baal Mumei Kar requires Hamada Baracha, where does Isa come into exclude? So I think Markashi has definitely a difficulty. According to Levi, where does Isa, which is exclusionary terminology, come into exclude from the Halacha of Hamada Baracha? And the Gemara continues explaining Halacha of a Mishnah, which we mentioned, is Machlekes Rabbanan and Reb Shimon, which in regards to what are we allowed to redeem after it dies, which we had a machlekes Rish Lakish Rabbi Yochanan in the Pindur Rabbanan. Now, Amar Rabbi Yehuda Merav, he says, my Tamid Rabbi Shimon. He's coming to explain what's the reason Rabbi Shimon. The Amar that he says, Kach Mizbech Hoyu B'cha Hamad Baracha. He holds that which has a sanctity for the Mizbech, Karbonet, that requires Hamad Baracha. But Kach B'dik Abayis L'Hoyu, like he said explicitly in the Mishnah, but that which has a temple upkeep sanctity, that does not require Hamad Baracha. What's the source? What's the reason for his halach? So says Rabbi Yehuda Merav, because the Amakra, the pasuk says, "V'herech haKohen Oisa beTeva bein Rav." The pasuk we just quoted before, which he's going to interpret it differently, which we're going to ask on. But it says the Kohen evaluates it whether it's good, whether it's bad. Which when it's saying bein Teva bein Ra, so he's saying Ezehu Davar Shechaluk bein Teva bein Ra. He's learning it the opposite of what we said before. He's saying, oh, so why are you mentioning bein Teva bein Ra? Sounds like that we're talking about a category of kachim that there's a difference between if it's good or if it's bad. Which one is that? Havoim is a Kachem Mizbech. That's referring to Kachem Mizbech, because Petek Abayis doesn't make a difference if it's blemished or unblemished. Which category doesn't make a difference? Because only unblemished could you bring as a carbon. That's Kachem Mizbech. And it's telling you that that's required Hamad Baracha. But Va'amakra, the Pasuk is saying, I saw it, Lemu'ute, Petek Abayis. Actually, coming to exclude Petek Abayis. So the Gemara, however, asks, if that's the case, Bein Toiv L'Ra Mibayle. What it should have said is, not Bein Toiv L'Vein Ra, it should have said Bein Toiv L'Ra, between good. Too bad, which that would have been understood to say that there's a difference between if it's toiv and ra. But by saying bein toiv uvein ra, it sounds like whether this or whether that, sounds like actually both of them are the same. So the Gemara Kasha is definitely difficult because that's actually the interpretation we had said before for the inverse opinion that was mentioned in the opinion of the Rabbanan. Here, that was according to the opinion of Rish Lakish. Here, Reb Shimon is exactly the opposite. We're learning from the same pasuk. The Gemara says, but that's difficult. How could that be saying that there's a chilik? It shouldn't say bein toiv uvein ra, it should say bein toiv l'ra. So the Gemara, that's the difficulty in understanding the source of Shemesh opinion. Now the Gemara continues and asks Meisvei for the following brayis on the opinion of Rabbi Yechanan, which again, as we said, according to Rabbi Yechanan, he holds in the Rabbanan that both Kachem Mizbech and Kachem B'dik Abayis are included in the halacha of Hamada Baracha, which when the Chacham is saying the Mishnah, and Meisvei Kaveiru is going on all types of Kachem that has to be buried because any type of Kachem requires to be able to stand, which is not the case when it's dead. However, the Gemara asks from the following brayis as follows. The Braisa says, Mesu, if they died, which we're going to qualify shortly which type of kachim we're talking about, so Tamimin Yikoveru, if they were unblemished, they have to be buried, which, as although we're going to explain that we're talking about kachim Mizbeach, which actually does not have the halacha of Muhammad of Aracha. However, that's what the opinion of the Chacham is coming to say, that when they died, however, unblemished, the Rabbanan made a higher level of requirements, and they're going to say that it's going to have to be buried, as we'll explain on the base, because since ultimately it was fit to sacrifice, although it's not really something that requires a Madabaracha, but still we're going to have to go ahead and bury it, because it could have been brought as a carbon. Now, however, that's only if it died unblemished. But if it died blemished, then it could be redeemed. Says the Braisa of Ahmed Vamum, when we're talking about what type of category is Bukach Mizbeach, which that which has a sanctity as a carbon, which the assumption right now is because, it didn't have the halacha of Madabaracha. So even though it's dead, they can't stand to be evaluated, that's okay, it doesn't have to stand. So you could redeem it. We just said by Tamimin, because it could have been brought as a carbon, so that we're not going to allow redemption. But in general, the category of Kachem Mizbeach, you don't have to have a Mada Baracha. If it's blemished, you can redeem it. But regarding that which has a sanctity of Bedi Gabayis, which has the Halacha Mada Baracha, Bein Tamimin or Bein Balimumin Yikaveir. Then whether it's unblemished or blemished, the Halacha is you have to bury it because it has the halacha of hamada v'racha, and you can't do it because it's dead. That's the chacham. Shimon he says, echad kachem mizbeach ve'echad kachem b'dikabayis. Doesn't make a difference if it's kachem mizbeach or kachem b'dikabayis. Temimim yikaveru, as we said, the same maila, he agrees to the rabbinic, the concern that since it's ultimately unblemished, then it has to be buried. But balimum yipadu, but if it's blemished, it could be redeemed, which later on the Gemara is going to ask, how could Reb Shimon say on both categories, including Kachem Mizbeach, that it's going to be redeemed, but both according to Reb Yechon and Rosh Lakish, they both said that in according to Reb Shimon, which seems to be a clear inference from our Mishnah too, that Kachem Mizbeach is included in Hamada V'Racha. And yet here he's saying it's not, because here he says that it doesn't have to be able to stand, and that you could redeem it. But one thing first says the Gemara is, Tiyufted Reb Yechon in Mireisha. Reb Yechon is refuted from the Reisha of the Rabbanan, because the Rabbanan said that Kachem Mizbeach, that died when it was blemished, could be redeemed. But Rabbi Yechanan said in the opinion of the Rabbanan that no, Kachem Mizbeach can never be redeemed if it died because it has the halacha of a mother v'racha. He says that the Rabbanan hold in both cases that Kachem Mizbeach and Kachem B'dik Bayis have a mother v'racha. Here it seems to be refuted from this braisa. So Amalek Rabbi Yechanan, he said, no, Hachem Ha'iskin, what are we talking about over here? Which we alluded to this idea just before earlier, Bebal Mummi Ikarai. Yeah, we're talking about Kedushas Mizbeach. But we're told by that it was pre-blemished before, and then that's why it could be redeemed. Now, and by Kachay Betik Abayis, there it doesn't make a difference, even though we're told by that it was blemished Mi'ikare, there's still the Chacham are saying it has to be buried, because yeah, there's no difference if it was blemished before and it became blemished later on, because by Kedushas Betik Abayis, that's not the point. Yeah, the Torah tells you that by all types of Kachim requires a mother v'racha. But by Kedushas Mizbeach, that's only if it was first sanctified, then developed a blemish. It was pre-blemished, then that's something we're saying, Oiso is actually coming to exclude according to Rabbi Yechanan in the Rabbanan. So that's the type of Kedushas Mizbeach that we said that it can be redeemed. And says the Gemara, Hachinam Mistarba. The answer that we're giving actually is even logical to say that's actually the interpretation. Because the Itema, Shekhod Mekdeshan is Mumman, if we would have thought to say, like we were asking, that the case Rabbanan and Kedushas Mizbeach is Tumah that first it was sanctified and then later developed a blemish, and that then it would sound like the Rabbanan are going like Rish Lakish, that yeah, the reason is because Kedushas Mizbeach was not Bechla Hamada V'Racha, which that was the question of Rabbi Yechanan. So then, but that would be difficult. Because then lift the grip Shimon Allah. Then Rabbi Shimon should have disputed that part of the Allah, and he should have said, don't say, like Rabbi Shimon says, oh, all these cases that they could be redeemed, he should have said no. By Kachay Mizbeach, it should be buried, because according to Rabbi Shimon, Kachay Mizbeach are included on Mother V'Racha. And this was the question that we were alluding to before. Elav, rather, which now we're answering that question too that we had alluded to, Elav, rather, says Zimur, isn't it obvious from the fact that he doesn't disagree in that case, Shema Minah, B'Bamu Mi'Karai, that obviously because we're talking about a pre-blemished animal before we're sanctified as Kedushas Mizbeach. That's why Kachem Rabban and Kachem Mizbeach could be redeemed, and Kachem B'dik Abayis could also be redeemed. Now, regarding that, and according to Reb Shimon, I mean, according to the Rabbanan, Kachem B'dik Abayis would have to be buried, as they say. But Kedushas Mizbeach, since it was pre-blemished, that's why they said that it could be redeemed. Now, but according to Reb Shimon, he would hold that Kachem B'dik Abayis would also be able to be redeemed, as he says, by both cases. Kachem Mizbeach, because it was pre-blemished, and Kachem B'dik Abayis, because he holds that wasn't Mecha, Hamada V'Racha. So therefore we have resolved it, because actually it seemed to be actually clear like the answer that we're giving to interpret it according to Rabbi Yechanan. But now the Gemara reverses it now. It says, well, Elalema Tavituv to Rish Lakish. Well, that should now be a refutation of Rish Lakish. Because from the Halacha itself, we just pointed out that obviously we're talking about that it's what type of Kedushas Mizbeach are we referring to? Balmul Mi'Karai. So now the inference is that the other way around. Sounds like that the reason why Korinth Rabbanan was saying that it could be redeemed is only because it was pre-blemished. But if it was sanctified before it was blemished, it would sound like that according to Rabbanan, it would have to be buried. That's not like Rish Lakish, that he says that Kachem Mizbeach was not included in Mad V'Racha, and it never has to be buried. Here you see that if it was Kadim Hekdesh L'mumi, it has to be buried. Says the Gemara, no, Rish Lakish Mukimla, he would explain the case of the Rabbanan, B'Shakadim Hekdesh L'mumi. Actually that, no, it was first sanctified and then developed blemish. And still the Rabbanan are saying that it could be redeemed, because yeah, Kachem Mizbeach would not include in Halacha, Mad V'Racha, like his opinion. But then the Gemara says, well, if that's how you're saying it, then we're back to the question which we had alluded to earlier, Nifle Grib Shimon Allah. Then wait a second, the Rib Shimon should dispute the Halacha of Kachem Mizbeach. He should say that it should have to be buried. Why does Rib Shimon say, no, Kachem Mizbeach, Kachem B'dik Abayis, they can both be redeemed, but we know the Halacha is from the Halacha of our mission that he holds Kachem Mizbeach does require Mother V'Racha, and it can't be redeemed because it died, and it can't have a Mother V'Racha. So the Gemara first says, it doesn't answer the question yet. First it says a different version, which subsequently that different version will allow the answer we're going to give for Rish Lakish, why it's not difficult, on this question that we're saying, oh, why does Rabbi Shimon dispute this halacha? Says the Gemara, Rish Lakish meipich apach. Rish Lakish found a different brisa that actually reversed the order of the statement of the Rabbanan. And v'hachi meisav. And this is how the question was originally posed by Rish Lakish on Rabbi Yechanan from the brisa. And that was mimechilta achriti. It was from a different text, which is that Rish Lakish didn't ask his question on Rabbi Yechanan like the way the first version we had quoted the brisa over here, which that first version had explicitly said in the words of Rabbi Shimon that, yeah, both Kodshei Bedigabais and Kodshei Mizbech, which is the question we're asking Rish Lakish from, that it can be redeemed. This second version, although, as Rashi points out, the two different versions really don't have any halachic differences between the two of them, the only one is that it just doesn't say explicitly in the opinion of Rabbi Shimon that Kodshei Mizbech Yiftu, which that's actually going to be the primary point, and also it switches around the order of the words of the Rabbanan. It says their statement just in the inverted, which says the Braisa, that this, that the Tanakama, the Braisa says as follows. Mesu, if they died, which the first version was talking about this halacha in Kodshei Mizbech, it qualified a Kodshei Mizbech, and then it was talking about Kodshei Bedigabais. This one says the reverse order. It says, Mesu, if they died, bein tmimin bein bali mumin, whether unblemished or blemished, the halacha is, yikaveiru, they have to be buried. Says the Braisa, b'medvam, when did we say this, that the Tanakama holds that even if they're blemished, that they have to be buried, that's b'kodshei Bedigabais, which requires a mother baracha. Aval b'kodeshim b'kodshei Mizbech, yipadu, they can be redeemed, because actually they were not in the halacha of Hamada Baracha, which is exactly like Rish Lakish holds. Now, on that, Rav Shimon is coming to dispute B'kodesh B'dikabayis. And this, that you said that it has to be buried, Rav Shimon Ami says, no, Tumimim Yikaveiru. If it's unblemished, it has to be buried, because that's a Maila D'Rabbanan, but a Bali Mumin Yipadu. But if it's blemished, then it can be redeemed. So, as we're repeating over the same conversation we had in the first version, but just the end piece, we'll be able to answer Rish Lakish. Says the Gemara, oh, so you have to be from the Sefer. So that's a refutation from the Sefer, where we said in the opinion of the Tanakama, that according to the Rabbanan, that if it's Kodshei Mizbech, it can be redeemed. How can it be redeemed? What do you mean? The Rabbi Yechanan holds in the Rabbanan that Kodshei Mizbech also requires a mother Baracha. And it's dead, how can it be redeemed? Which, again, this is the Sefer the first version had in the Reisha. So I'm Rabbi Yechanan would tell you, as we said in the first version, the Hochmei Skin, what are we talking about here? B'balmum mi'ikari. We're talking about that it was pre-blemished. Pre-blemished, so that, yeah, that could be redeemed. It doesn't require a mother of a rach over there, because that, like we said, Isa actually comes to exclude it. And however, but by Kodshei Bedigabais, even though it's pre-blemished, it still has to be buried, because like we said before, there's no difference over there if it's blemished before, blemished after, that has no relevancy by Kodshei Bedigabais regarding when the blemish happened. And there, the halacha will always be, bein taiv bein ra, that you're going to have a mother of a rach. And says the Gemara, like we said in the first version, of Hachana Mistab, it's actually logical to say like this. Because the Itame Bishakad Magdation is Mumin, if you would think to say the case of Kedushas Mizbech of the Chacham was Tomad, that the sanctity was before the blemish, then Niflig Rav Shimon Allah, Rav Shimon should have disputed this point, and he should have said 2 points. He should have said, first of all, I disagree with you by Kodshei Bedigabais, because they're actually hold that it could be redeemed. And he should have said that by Kodshei Mizbech I disagree, and I hold that actually has to be buried. For the fact that he doesn't disagree, and he only disagrees in the case of Kodshei Bedigabais, where there the Chacham say he has to be buried, and he says it can be redeemed. But by Kodshei Mizbech, he silently doesn't say anything what the Rabban say can be redeemed. Obviously, because the Tumah, that Kedushas Baal Mum Meikari, where the Yerub Shimon agrees that it can be redeemed. But by regular Kodshei Mizbech, we know that he holds that it has to be buried, because it requires a Mother Baracha. So therefore, we resolve the Fir Abiechna. But like in the first version, the Gemara says, well, Elalema Tabatuv to Rish Lakish. Well, shall we say this is a refutation of Rish Lakish? No, Amalcha Rish Lakish. Rish Lakish would tell you that no, Hochmei Skin, we're talking about not like the way Rabbi Yochanan answered. It's talking about Bishakad Mekdeshin this moment, where the blemish was, where the sanctity was before the blemish. That's what Allah is. Because, yeah, even did the Rabbanan say that it doesn't require a mother of Arach, and therefore it could be redeemed. But then the question is, but Nimniflik Rabbi Shimon Allah. Then Rabbi Shimon should have disputed, because we know there he holds that it requires a mother of Arach, and should have to be buried. Why does it say that it could be redeemed? Oh, this is the important point, which is different than the first version. Amalcha Rish Lakish, Rish Lakish would tell you, Hachanami, you're right. Dipalig, Rib Shimon. Rib Shimon disputes on both points. This, that he's saying, his disagreement, is not just on Kachi Bedekabayas. This, he's also talking about that he's disputing a Kachi Mizbech, because in this version he didn't say explicitly, oh, that Kachi Mizbech is going to have the halacha that he says, Echad Kachi Mizbech, Echad Kachi Bedekabayas. He doesn't say that. And you're right, he does dispute that too. That by Kachi Mizbech, he would hold that it would have to be buried. He was just pointing out that his dispute on Kachi Bedekabayas, that they could be redeemed, which Chacham says has to be buried. But you're right, he disputes the other point too, and therefore it's not difficult on Rish Lakish. However, the Gemara continues asking, Amli Rabbi Yirmi Rabbi Zeir, it says, L'Rish Lakish, according to Rish Lakish, Dhamma that he says, L'Rabbanon, according to Rabbanon, his opinion was, Kachi Mizbech lohoi b'chla amad v'racha. This halacha of requiring Mother Baracha, according to the Chacham, that if it dies, it has to be buried, was only Kachi Bedekabayas. But Kachi Mizbech, no, if it's dead, it's not a problem, it doesn't require Mother Baracha. Now, however, V'Katani, but we learned in this Brisa that says, Kachi Mizbech, if we're sanctified with the sanctity of the Mizbech, as we continue to Midbeis, Balimum and Yipadu. The Chacham said that if it's blemished, it can be redeemed. Now, Umakminala, we explained according to Shlakish, that it's Toman Bishakad Mektation this movement, even though it was sanctified first and didn't develop a blemish, we said that even there they hold it could be redeemed because, yeah, Kachim is Bech doesn't require Mother Baracha. But the question is, Shmamino, but we should be able to infer from this then the halacha, which we had mentioned in previous Tafas of Machlekis, Paydim is Akadish Mlachil Niklavim. Seems to be that you're saying that the Rabbanim were holding that you could redeem that which was sanctified as a carbon to then feed it to the dogs, which we said in the previous mission that our Tana holds not like that. Now, because according to Rabbi Yechanan, that he explains the case as Tumah Bebamul Mikari. So yeah, if it was pre-blemished, we don't care that if we're going to redeem it to feed it to the dogs, because it never had a physical sanctity at all, ever. But according to Rish Lakish, that's the question that we could ask. Seemingly he's saying that even by a regular Kachi Mizbech, that you can redeem it to feed it to the dogs. So it's Gemara Nahach Meiskin, what are we talking about, that the Mishnah said, in Mesu, that if it died, that then you could redeem it. It doesn't mean literally that it died. Because if it died, it's nevela, and nevela, yeah, it's only viable for dogs. No, that you can't do, because you can't redeem it to feed it to the dogs. What we're talking about is b'sha'av v'shachata. When we're saying, quote, it's dead, didn't die. That someone violated the halacha before redemption, they went and they slaughtered it. Oh, it's slaughtered, it's kosher. So that we're saying, okay, then you can redeem it and eat it. So you're not doing it like club meat, doing it for human consumption, content, like we're in the price of this halacha. Any carbon that developed a blemish and someone slaughtered before it was redeemed. So Meir says, like Reb Shimon, that holds Kachi Mizbech requires a Mother Baracha, so you have to bury it. You can't redeem it because it's already, it can't stand. Chachamim, they say, no, you can redeem it because it doesn't require a Mother Baracha, and you're also not redeeming it L'Achilin L'Klavim because it's slaughtered, it's kosher, and then it's going to be eaten by a person. Now, continuing to ask in the halacha of our Mishnah, Amalei Reb Yirmi L'Reb Zeir, he says, L'Reb Shimon. According to Reb Shimon, that we mentioned his opinion before, the Amad that he says, Kachi Bedekabayis lo'hava b'chal Mother Baracha. That halacha of a Mother Baracha is only Kachi Mizbech, but Kachi Bedekabayis does not require a Mother Baracha. So then the question is, Amai Tamibim Yikaveiru, which we alluded to this halacha earlier, why is it, when it's unblemished then, that it has to be buried? Why has it to be buried? It's Kachi Bedekabayis, it doesn't require a Mother Baracha. Who cares that it's dead? You should still be able to redeem it. Says the Gemara, and we mentioned this also in the Pindir Rabbanan, from the Chazu Lahakrava. Because ultimately, an animal that's unblemished was fit to be brought as a carbon. So therefore, since it was unblemished and it was fit for the Mizbeach, we gave it the halachic status as such. Ketan like learned the Braisa. Hamatvis Timimim LeBedek Abayis. If someone goes and possesses an unblemished animal for the sanctity of the Bedek Abayis, so although it has only Kedushas Bedek Abayis, but says the Braisa Kishay Niftin, when they're redeemed, ain't Niftin El Mizbeach. It could only be redeemed for the utility of using it now for the altar. Shekala Royal Mizbeach, because whatever is fit for the Mizbeach, in the Yitzim and the Mizbeach Loyal, it doesn't leave the sanctity of the Mizbeach forever. So yeah, the reason why Reb Shimon is saying that it has to be buried, and although that halacha he holds is only by Kedushas Mizbeach, not Kedushas Bedekabayis, but we give it the halacha of Kedushas Mizbeach, because ultimately it was unblemished, which is for the Mizbeach, and therefore it's going to have the halacha rabbinically. Now, moreover, continuing on this topic, Omer Rav Papa L'Abaye of Amalan, some say in the Gersa is L'Rava, that he said it to Rava, that he asked the following question. L'Rav Yechanan, the Mukim Law, that he explained the Brice that we quoted before that was talking about, that a blemished animal that had the sanctity of the Mizbeach, that the Rabbanan said that you could redeem it, he explained it, that's not talking about that it developed a blemish later, because that he holds that wouldn't have the halacha, that requires a Mother Baracha, wouldn't be able to be redeemed, that he explained it, B'bamum Mi'ikari, that someone that was pre-blemished from beforehand. And he said, and that's why Reb Shimon didn't disagree in that halacha either, because Reb Shimon also agrees b'balmum meikari that it could be redeemed. So it comes out that kuli alma svirlu, that everyone holds, the Balmum Mikaroi, that if it was pre-blemished by Kedusha Nezbeach, do la have a Bechal Mada Baracha. That you tell me that everyone holds that would not require Mada Baracha. Says the Gemara V'loi, but is that not the case? Is that really so that no one requires a Mada Baracha if it's pre-blemished? But what's not, the Mishnah Masech Tzbacharis says as follows. This case, Kala Kaddishim Shekada Mum Kavua Lehegdeshim Beniftu. Any Kaddishim, any carbon that was pre-blemished before it was sanctified and then it was redeemed, says the Mishnah, Chayavim Bebechayru V'matanis, meaning this is not like your regular type of kachim that's redeemed, because it was already pre-blemished before, and so it has different types of halachas. It's really less kachim than most types. It's going to have some type of a real chulin status. So when it's redeemed, it's going to be obligated in the laws of the firstborn animal that it gives birth to, and matanis, which is when it's slaughtered the animal, you have to give the zroi l'chayim, the cave, the different parts of the animal to the kain, like chulin animals. And this, after it's redeemed, it goes out to being considered unconsecrated. You could shear the wool, you could work with it, which generally is not the case by regular kachim that are redeemed. And vlad mechalavan, its offspring and its milk are mutter, are permitted, even if it was impregnated before it was redeemed. And it gave birth l'acha b'join after it was redeemed, still those things are going to be permitted. Even if he's slaughtered out of the azar, the person's going to be exempt. Which these are even before the redeemed, the enosim tamura, and it doesn't have the halacha of making a tamura, because we're saying it doesn't really have a kedusha as a guf, it was pre-blemished beforehand. And v'meisu yipadu, and if it dies, it could still be redeemed. Now, v'amr b'hudim rav, he explained on that Mishnah in Masechtas Bechayra, is that the Mishnah says that if it dies, it can be redeemed. That zu de Reb Shimon, that's going according to Reb Shimon. The amar kachim is be'echo yibachal amadav aracha, that generally, kachim mizbeach, we say that if it dies, it can't be redeemed because of a kedushas mizbeach, and because it requires a mother varacha. And we're saying that here, it's not like your regular kachim mizbeach; it was pre-blemished beforehand. And because generally kachim mizbeach requires a mother varacha, but kachim bedigabais lahava. But in kachim bedigabais, that never required a mother varacha. There, we always say if it dies, it can be redeemed. Not like we learned in our Mishnah. Reb Shimon Amar that he says kachim b'degabayis emeisa yipadu. On a kachim b'degabayis, there if it dies, then you can redeem it. But kachim mizbeach, generally if it dies, you can't redeem it. But that's what the Mishnah is telling us over there. Umayd Reb Shimon b'ba'mum mi'karish nifta. But if it's pre-blemished, that the case is talking about over there in Reb Shimon, that's the chiddush in saying that no, even there, even though it's kachim mizbeach, it could be redeemed. My time, what's the reason? Because the Amakra, the pasuk says oisa it when it talks about the requirement of a mother varacha, which we said that Aisa l'mu'uti ba'mum meikari. It's coming to exclude that which is already pre-blemished. I mean to say that we're going to be considering it as the kedushas of bedik habayis, which according to Reb Shimon, that does not require a mother barach. Now, Abba Chachama, that's what Reb Merav explains. So that mission is like Reb Shimon, but the sages they say afil ba'mum meikari, even if it's pre-blemished, hayy b'chla mother baracha, it was included in the halacha of a mother baracha. That refutes the halacha of Rabbi Yechonim, because according to Rish Lakish, there's no question, because he explained the brace of the Rabbanon that it's talking about that was unblemished, and then it only became blemished after it was sanctified. So yeah, according to him, you could say that Balmumi Kari would have the halacha as Kedusha's Bedek Abayis, where although you sanctified it for the Mizbeach, even so, but it's not going to get a physical sanctity, it's pre-blemished, so it's going to have the halacha as Kedusha's Bedek Abayis, which, because it only has a monetary sanctity, which according to Rabbanon, that requires Hamadav Aracha. So that's what the Brice would be saying. But according to Rabbi Yechanan, that he explained that the halacha is talking about pre-blemish, that everyone holds it does not require Hamadav Aracha. Yet here you see Rabbi Merav is explaining the Mishnah Masechtas Bechayras, that the inferences that come hold that you would have requiring Hamadav Aracha even if it's pre-blemished. So Malais, Rabbi Yechanan would tell you, Man Chacham, who's the Chacham in that Mishnah that we're inferring requires Hamadav Aracha even when it's pre-blemished? That's Tanit Bei Levi, who we mentioned before, that yeah, he holds even Bama Mikur requires. But the regular Rabbanan, no, they hold that it doesn't require a mother baracha. Says the Gemara, but if that's the case, so zu divrei Reb Shimon besulai. So this Reb Yehuda Merav is qualifying the Mishnah, saying, oh, that Mishnah is going like Reb Shimon, and that's it. Zu divrei Reb Shimon machlokusa mebayle. But it should have said it's like Reb Shimon and his general disputants, who the Rabbanan who generally disagreed on him, like in our Mishnah, that even according to them, you could explain that the halacha over there in that Mishnah that tuma b'amum mekari was not requiring hamadav baracha. Why does it say only Reb Shimon? So Malays on that, Rabbi Yechon said to him, no, Haidu l'katani hachi, the reason why Rav didn't say that it's going like Reb Shimon and his general disputants, and it's just not like the Tana de Beilevi, is Mishum the Rav Sovel Kirish Lakish, because Rav, who he was qualifying that Mishnah, on the general halacha, he held like Kirish Lakish, Dama that he says, Rabbanan, according to Rabbanan, Kaja Bede Gabayis, Hoyu Bechla Hamad Varacha. What was it that Rabban required Hamad Varacha, that if it dies, you have to bury it? That was by Kedusha Bede Gabayis. But Kaja Mizbeach Loy Hoyu, but Kaja Mizbeach was never included in the halacha of Hamad Varacha. And therefore, he couldn't have explained that Mishnah Masechet B'Chayis entirely like Rabbanan, because you're right. The Reisha of that Mishnah, which was talking about the case of Balmumi Karai, which Katani, which that said Vimesu, you padu that if it dies, then you could redeem it. Yeah, that could even be like the Rabbana, because yeah, the Rabbana says Rabbi Yochanan agree to that halacha. But Vesefa Katani, but the Sefa of that Mishnah that says, but regarding Kachim, that the Hektish, the sanctification was before the blemish, that then the Mishnah is saying Vimesu Kaveri, that if it dies, it has to be buried, that's not like the Rabbana. Because you're about to hold that even then, if it dies, it doesn't have to be buried. So therefore, you couldn't have said it's like Drabban over here. But you're right, the other halacha would be like Drabban too. You just couldn't say that whole Mishnah is like Drabban. Or if you want, says the Gemara, you could actually say that, no, Rav Rabbi Yechon is really. That even we could say in the general halacha, Rav is like Rabbi Yechon and the Pin Drabbanon, that both Kachar Mizbech and Kachar Bede Gabayis requires a Mother Varacha. And the only exception is, like Rabbi Yechon said, Balmum Mikari. And you're right, both the Reisha and the Seif of that Mishnah, the Mishnah could have said, it's not only like the Rav could have said, it's not only like Reb Shimon, it's also like the Rabbanan of our Mishnah. With the Kakash Lach and said, this, that you had a question, so do the Reb Shimon Machlukus, everybody should have said that it's Reb Shimon and his disputants. Says the Gemara, Emachanami, say yes, you should amend that statement of Rav to say that this is the word opinion of Reb Shimon, and the one that it's not like is like Tanit Bei Levi. Now, the Gemara continues on a related discussion. The Mishnah continues a related discussion regarding that we said that there are situations that we require umesu kaveru regarding kachim that if they die they have to be buried. So our Mishnah goes to an exhaustive list and says ve'elohin hanakvaran, and these are things that have to be buried, which are just like the halacha that we mentioned of the halacha that there are cases of kachim that they would have to be buried, and they are kachim shepila regarding a kachim that miscarried. So you covered so that aborted fetus has to be buried. So to Hipila Shilya, if it aborted an afterbirth, which is that amniotic sac that the fetus is in, to cover that also has to be buried, because we know there's halacha she'in shilya b'lo vlad. You don't have that sac without a child, so therefore, although we don't see one, we know that there was one, and therefore that has to be buried. And all these halachas of our Mishnah that have to be buried is because they're isru hanot, they're forbidden to have benefit, so therefore they have to be buried. So too, v'shar haniskel, an ox, there are certain situations that it has to be stoned, it's asaba no, has to be buried. Vegla rufa, the decapitated calf, when you find a dead person on the road, v'tzipar mitzara in this purification process, his birds, it's forbidden to have benefit, they have to be buried. V'shar nazar, they hear that was cut off from the nazar at the end, u'petach hamar, the firstborn donkey, if it wasn't redeemed, u'basa b'chalav, a forbidden mixture of meat and milk, v'chulun shenishchitu b'azara, an unconsecrated animal that was slaughtered in the azara, all these are forbidden to have benefit, they have to be buried. Shimonai, he says that chulin shenishchdu bazar yisrafu. The last case regarding unconsecrated animal that was slaughtered in the courtyard, there has to be burnt. And the reason for that is because it might get confused with other kachim that developed a blemish. Because in this situation, when you have an animal that people see, oh, that they're going to bury it, people are going to think it's not obvious that it was an unconsecrated animal versus that it was a kachim. So people might come to say, oh, if there's a carbon that ends up having an invalidation, let's say it was done in the state of tumo or because it was left over, that has to be buried. But the halacha says in Pesachim daf chavdal medal, the pasuk says b'kodesh be'ish tisarf, that comes to say regarding anything that's invalidated regarding kachim has to be burnt. So therefore, here also, even though this is not a kachim, so not to confuse it, chulin shenishchet bazar also has to be burnt. And moreover, b'chin chayish shenishchet bazar, even a wild animal who, if that's chulin, there's no way of confusing it with regarding kachim pesulim, because everyone knows a wild animal cannot be a carbon, and it's not going to come to confuse. Even so, he says, we don't make any differentiations. Even there, that wild animal that was slaughtered in azar would have to be burnt. Now, continues the Mishnah related, ve'elu hinan asrafin, and these are things that have to be burnt, not buried. Chametz b'pesach yisarf, leavening chametz in Pesach has to be burnt, which the Gemara Pesachim, the Chavzayim Amabez learns it off in the halacha of Nisa, which we just said has to be burnt. So too, the halacha is that chametz in Pesach has to be burnt. With truma temeya, truma that became richly impure, has to be burnt. Va'arla, the fruits of the tree of the first 3 years. With kalah hakerem, and regarding a forbidden mixture. Truma temeya, we know, has to be burnt, because the Gemara says in Shabbos of Chafayim and Aleph that although it's permitted to have benefit from it, however, but as the Gemara Pesachim says in Daf Chav Gimel, although it says L'chon Nesatiyah, for you I have given to you, but Truma Tumei is forbidden for a kohen to consume, how is it used? That it's used as fuel under the pot that you're cooking. So that means it has to be burned, and that's actually the way that's permitted to utilize the Truma Tumei. And regarding Kalei Kerem, the Pasuk says, Pentikdash Hamaleya, which Tikdash is read as Tukat Eish, that the Kalayim, the forbidden mixture, has to be burnt in fire. And Arlo, the Halachas are learned out from Kalayim, so that's how we know that the fruits of the first 3 years also have to be burnt in the fire. Now, says the Mishnah, Eshadarchan Lisra of Yisrav, that which the norm is to burn it, you have to burn it. Veshadarchan Li Kav Yukav, and that which the norm is to bury it, you bury it, which is going on these last two cases of Orla and Klaya Karim, which if it's a food item, you burn it. If it's a beverage, then you bury it. Now, moreover, says the Mishnah, to qualify what we said before, Umadlikin, and we light a fire to have benefit, Bepasu Beshemeshal Truma. If it's bread or oil of Truma that we said that's tummy, which you can't consume, but you can have benefit from it, the way you do it is you light a fire and you have benefit from that in burning it that way. So, to qualifying what we mentioned before, Kalakadishim Shenishach to Chutz Lizmanim Chutz Lim Kaiman. Any carbon, any kadshim that was slaughtered that with the intention of eating it beyond its time or beyond its place, which is known as pigul or chutzlam kaimai, these are machshavas psulas, so that invalidates the carbon. Hare eli yisrafu, like we mentioned before in the pasuk b'kodesh be'esh tisarf, which teaches regarding any psulim b'kodesh, that then halacha is you have to burn it. Continues the Mishnah daf lamed alef, asham talu yisarf. An asham talu, which is when a person doesn't know if he sinned or not, it could have been chaylev, it could have been shuman, so he has to bring what's called the suspended asham. If it was slaughtered, and before the blood of the carbon was thrown, they were notified that he didn't sin, and now, ultimately, this is like an unconsecrated animal being slaughtered in the Hazara, so then Yisarf, so then you have to burn that carbon. But if it was not notified to him, and let's say he found it later, then actually it's eaten like a regular carbon asham, because the Torah tells you in Parsha Vayikra that for atonement in the situation of doubt, and to protect from afflictions until he knows for sure if he sinned or not, and to bring a carbon chatas or not, as the Gemara says, increases the chavav and beis, that's called a carbon ashram, and therefore that's a bona fide carbon, even though it finds out later that he did or he didn't sin. Pudaim, he disagrees. He says, no, the ashram tali, when you find out and you can't continue the process, not burnt, he says, you cover, he says, it's buried. So too, they have a machlekes regarding chatzas aif habala safik, regarding the bird chatzas that comes in a situation of doubt. For example, a woman who miscarries, we're not sure what was it a child which has the halachas of yiladus, or was it not a child? They don't know what was the status of that what came out of her. So since the chatzas yiladus is a bird carbon, as it says in the pasuk, uven yoyna oiter lechatzas, it's a pigeon or a turtle dove, so she could bring it in a situation of doubt. Because generally you can't bring a carbon in the situation of doubt, because it's forbidden to bring chulin onto the mizbeach. But since here the bird carbon is not, none of it is burnt on the mizbeach, so we don't care if we just throw the blood out of doubt onto the mizbeach. However, it's not eaten, because maybe she didn't have a child, and maybe really is chulin, and then it's going to be nevela. Because the way they do the shechita on the bird is not done with a regular shechita. Regarding bird carbon, this actually they do malika, which is the thumbnail of the Kayin goes through it, and that's how he breaks off the neck. That's only valid for kachem, not valid for chulin. So therefore the halacha is, tisarf, it has to be burnt, like other kachem that are pasul. Which the Gemara Masechet Nazir daf Chavtas Madaf learns out very well how we know that a chatzas oiv could be brought in a situation of doubt. So once you can bring it, but however you can't eat it, so then you have to burn it. Rabbi Yehudam, he says, no, yetolenu la'amo. You throw it into the canal. There was a canal that went through the Azara, which took it out to the Nachal Kidron, the Kidron Valley. Now, since the bird is soft, so it gets pulled apart and gets mutilated as it goes through. It doesn't withstand the thrust of the flow of the water. So he says that's how you get rid of that chatzas ha'if that came for the situation of safek, and it's not burnt. Now, it says the Mishnah, kol the kvarin lo yisrafu. All the things that have to be buried are not allowed to be burnt. As the Gemara is going to explain the reasoning. V'chal nasrafan lo yikvar, and that which has to be burnt is not buried, because if it's buried, then someone might end up finding it, and he might take it, and he might eat it, and these are things that are forbidden to have benefit, so therefore you have to burn it, you can't bury it. Rabbi Hudaimi says, Im rotz lahach malatzmai, listra fesu nekvarin, rishoy. He says, if a person wants to be stringent on himself, and that which could be buried, he's stringent on himself, and he wants to burn it, so then he says he's permitted. Which Amr Leib, the sages said to him, no, ain't mutal shans, and I'll switch it, that which has to be buried and cannot be burned, that which has to be burned cannot be buried, it has to be burned.